Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In light of yesterday's homily from this pulpit, this morning continues this impromptu sermon series on King Solomon. The word of God which engages us toward this end is from the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, the third verse, which says, Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. Which goes to show, it's easy as pie to begin. It's tougher than nails to finish. Pick your pie. It was that easy for King Solomon. Pretenders to the throne, Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah had been hosts. Enemies of the throne, Joab, Shimei, and Abiathar had been slam dunked. Anointed by the high priest Zadok as Melech Yisrael at the Gihon Spring, this Solomon came out of the starting blocks like a greyhound after jackrabbits. All the money was on Solomon, this, the 10th of David's 17 sons. In 1 Kings 3, verse 7, Solomon calls himself a Na'ar, a kid. But we would call him a kid wonder. He spoke over 3,000 proverbs. His songs numbered 1,005. Solomon described plant life from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. Solomon secured for the empire the two major trading routes of his day, the Via Maris along the Mediterranean Sea and the King's Highway that stretched from Elath to the south to Damascus in the north. It's true, as 1 Kings 4:25 puts it, from Dan to Beersheba, Judah and Israel lived in safety, each man under his own vine and fig tree. Solomon needed no lessons on the PL or pluperfect. He needed no lectures on angelology or eschatology. He needed no field work, no vicarage. Ready, set, go. LWML problems, no problem for Solomon. I quote, cut the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other. Problem solved. Building problems, the scourge of at least my ministry. No problem for Solomon. He contacts Hiram, king of Tyre. And he says, my people will talk with your people. And the result of this corporate merger was building after building. The Jerusalem temple, the royal palace, the chariot cities of Hazor, Megiddo, Gezer. If anyone was going to be successful in ministry, it had to be Solomon. Why, for the first 10 chapters of 1 Kings, he's awesome. But in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, verse 3, our text says Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. 2 summers ago, the wife and I were sitting outside visiting with friends. It was a patio. And I heard this constant sound of zap, zap, zap. It was bugs getting zapped by a bug zapper. They are mesmerized and attracted to this blue light. They fly in, they zoom in, and they're fried and burned and dead. And I thought to myself, the conversation was not waxing eloquent at the point. I thought to myself, Certainly there's a bug out there who will count the costs. There's got to be a bug out there who says, hey, wait a minute. Before I impulsively follow my desires, I'm going to look at this littered tray of dead bugs. But you know what? Bugs don't do that. You know what? Neither does Solomon. Forgetting the words of his father David, Yahweh is my light and my salvation, Solomon zooms toward different lights, 1,000 of them to be exact. The result? Zap goes his relationship with Yahweh. Zap goes the kingdom in 1 Kings 12. Zap goes Solomon in all his glory. You see, it's easy as pie to begin. It's tougher than nails to finish. This being the first week of the first quarter of the first month of the new academic year, this campus looks like greyhounds after jackrabbits. Confidence is high. You've seen the course syllabi. How tough can these classes actually be? Fieldwork, I hear on the streets, piece of pie. Juggling marriage, children, job, no sweats. How hard can that really be? You see, we are great at beginning, aren't we? Unbridled confidence, never say die attitude, like hot knives into butter. We attack. New challenges, new relationships, new classes. Look out, world. Look out, LCMS. Here comes Concordia Seminary. But we get tired after a while, don't we? We get impatient. We get fatigued. We start looking at people and problems and parishes, and we say, this is a chore. This is a bore. This is a snore no more. And precisely at that point, we are mesmerized by different lights. Deadly lights. Dazzling lights. At least 1,000 of them called power, position, profit, prestige. Or my favorite, pouting for poor, poor, miserable me. The result? Zap goes the joy of our salvation. Zap goes our passion for reaching lost people. Zap goes our zeal for the word. And to a person, we know what it's like to find ourselves lying in a tray of dead bugs. Matthew 12, verse 42. One greater than Solomon is here. This king, tempted by those same lucrative lights, began strong and finished strong, even though for him it was tougher than nails. We know it, don't we? In addition to nails, there was scourging and mocking, and spitting, and sweating, and bleeding, and crowning with thorns, yet he finished. In spite of his own disciples' kiss of betrayal, in spite of his friends running for cover, in spite of his countrymen clamoring for his death, in spite of the father's abandonments, look. Listen, the sky is very dark. The other two are moaning. Jesus pivots himself on the nails one last time and gives his last word. It's recorded in John 19:30. Tetelestai, it is finished. The veil rent, the blood poured, the sacrifice complete, the curse removed, death defeated, and paradise restored to Telestai. A cry of defeat? By no means. I dare say that it would not have been for the nails. He would have raised a triumphant fist toward the sky. Tetelestai. Perfect tense. Completed action. Ongoing results. It means just now. Just today. For us lackluster finishers. No zap from on high. But instead, a father's welcome, a shepherd's embrace, a friend's infinite love. If the life of Solomon, David's great son, proves that it's easy as pie to begin, then the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, David's greatest son, proves that though it was tougher than nails, he finished for you, for me. Fellow beginners, all of us at Concordia Seminary, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with endurance marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. The Hebrew writer presses the pen hard, so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts. In that cloud of witnesses is Moses. Moses, who registered last for classes and got loneliness 101, advanced obscurity, intermediate impatience, and working for your father-in-law for 40 years. This Moses finished strong. Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses died when he was 120 years old, yet his eyes were not dim, nor his strength gone. The same cloud of witnesses is Joshua. Joshua, who was surrounded with 10 spies who needed a checkup from the neck up. Joshua, who spent 40 years in a lackluster call by the name of the Sinai Deserts. This Joshua finished strong. Joshua 24:15. You know the words. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And then these words for the ages. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. From the damp, dark, deadly Mamertine prison in Rome, this Paul finished strong. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. The entire cloud of witnesses testifies to the truth that in your battle and my battle, our daily struggle, in the struggle, much like the river and the rock, the river always wins, not by strength, but by endurance. finishing strong here, out there, does not mean finishing first. It does not mean finishing without blood and sweat and tears. Finishing strong does mean daily fixing our eyes on Jesus, whose word and sacrament not only empower but guarantee that He who began a good work in you will finish it on the day of Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.